Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. We're going to finish the Gospel of Luke this morning. And, you know, I shared with First Service, the cool thing is that after all these years of studying and teaching God's Word, as I finish the teaching this morning, this will be actually my first time that I have literally taught from Matthew chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22 through the whole New Testament. So it's one of the goals that was on my bucket list, and God has brought it to pass, so I'm really excited about that. Last time in our study of Luke, we covered the beginning of chapter 24. Jesus had risen from the dead. He was seen by many witnesses. And if you remember where we left off, the two disciples were on their way to Emmaus from Jerusalem. These guys were walking and they were discouraged. They were bummed out as they were heading towards Emmaus because they felt Jesus hadn't done what they had expected him to do. They were hoping Jesus would redeem Israel, that Jesus would get rid of the Roman authorities, and that the nation would be back in control of the Jewish people's hands, the children of Israel. But it didn't happen. And here these guys were disappointed. God didn't do what they were expecting him to do. You know, I got to say, nothing's changed in the 2,000 years of the church. We expect God to do certain things for us. And when it seems like he's not doing it, we get discouraged. We get frustrated. We get disappointed. And eventually, we end up mad. And we go sideways on God. Well, you got to remember, when Jesus came and walked on this earth, the Jews saw the glory of the kingdom of God. The problem was they didn't take into consideration the part about him having to die and suffer. They didn't take that into consideration. Here in our story, Jesus is walking with them. He's listening to what they're saying. He's feeling their pain. And they're just venting and venting and venting to him. They're even quoting Old Testament prophecies. They're trying to remember what Jesus had taught them. But they weren't able to put it together. They just couldn't get it to where they could figure out how to make sense of it all. Well, one thing about the Lord, you got to love him. Here he's walking with them. And they're talking about these things. And he was in the middle of everything that happened there in Jerusalem. And now he's asking them, what things? What are you guys talking about? You know what? If it tells me he's got a sense of humor, amen? He's got a sense of humor. What an example of how patient he is with us. He listens to us. We're venting our problems to him. We're crying out to him. We don't understand this. We don't know why this happened or that. And the thing that's so amazing, just like in our story here, he already knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what's happening. You see, it's because we now have a high priest in the heavenlies. His name's Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews 4:16 confirms to you and me that we can now come boldly to his throne of grace anytime, 24/7, and we can pour out our hearts to him, and he will help us. He will help us. I think the biggest thing we deal with is the timing on it, right? Because we want it right now as we're praying. But you see, his timing is always perfect. The issue is we can get so blind. We can be so upset with what we're dealing with that even if God is speaking to us, we can't hear him. We can't hear him. Here these guys had all the evidence that they'd ever need. There were the witnesses who saw the empty tomb. How about the angels who proclaimed Jesus to be alive? A lot of people saw him and heard him speak after his resurrection. In Romans 10, verse 16, 17, Paul, the apostle, wrote, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The word of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 7. Paul the apostle said, "So we are always confident, knowing that we are at home in this body. We are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith. It's not what we can see. When we're in desperate and confusing times, the Holy Spirit will open God's word to us. But like so many today, the real problem isn't with what's going on in their minds. It's what's going on in their hearts. It's where the real issue is. It comes down to understanding what God's word is saying. Man, that's why I love studying it. I love studying it to come and explain it to those of you who really earnestly have a desire to want to know what it says. I love expounding God's word. Because if it's not explained to you, you can read a verse and you can make three different things out of it. But when you take it in its context, as it's expounded, now you begin to get a grasp of what God is saying in his word. Jesus gave these two disciples understanding as he opened the scriptures to them. Then he opened their eyes. And that's when they realized, wow, Jesus has been with us all along. He's standing right here next to us. You see, they didn't believe what the prophets had written about the Messiah. In fact, when you think about it, most of the Jews in that day didn't believe it either. They saw Messiah as a conquering redeemer. And even though the Jews knew many parts of the Old Testament scriptures, they didn't see Jesus as a suffering servant. They didn't see the Messiah as a suffering servant. I mean, they saw the glory in the scriptures, but they didn't see the suffering. So what was going on? Well, they were looking for the crown. That's why the cross totally turned them off. The cross totally turned them off. I mean, isn't that what Paul the Apostle wrote there in 1 Corinthians 1:18? He said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are dying without God. But to us who are being saved," that's us, Christian, "it's the power of God." Let me ask you this morning, do you need God's power and his wisdom in your life? You know you do. So what do? You get in the scriptures. You get in the scriptures. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. Don't leave God's word until you can hear him speaking to you. Stay in it. Stay in it. And when he's speaking to you, then at that point you can go ahead and leave his word. First, Jesus opened their eyes to see him. Then he opened their hearts to receive and understand God's word. And the reason was so that they could now go and tell others what Jesus had said to them. It's called evangelism. That's what we do. We learn the word. We study the word. We learn it to the place where we can go out and tell those who are lost. our family members, our coworkers, our neighbors, anybody it might be, someone we run into at the store. And God prompts us to share with them. It just makes sense. When you begin to truly understand God's word, I'm telling you, man, you are going to see Jesus throughout the scriptures, the Old and New Testaments. You're going to see him. These guys came to God through his word. Cleopas and his buddy, the two disciples walking to Emmaus, came to God through his word. Nothing else got their attention. I mean, here Jesus is walking with him, but the scripture says they didn't even know who this stranger was. They didn't know it was Jesus. When we go through struggles, when we go through tiring and trying times like we are with this coronavirus, if we're so focused on what is going on here in this life, we will never, ever see Jesus. Even if he's standing right there next to us, man, we will never see Jesus. What happened took place in their hearts. The Bible says that their hearts were what? Burning within them. It's what should happen when you get in God's word. Man, when I sit down, when I lock down to study, my heart starts burning, man. I don't want to come out. I want to stay right there. It's like I'm in the Lord's presence, and man, I don't want to leave. I don't want this ever to end, Lord. He reminded me of Jeremiah the prophet. Jerry said in Jeremiah 20, verse 7 and 9, he said, "Oh Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder, because of the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name." Jeremiah said, look, nobody wants to hear it. They laugh at me. They mock me. You ever have that happen to you? Jeremiah came to the place, he threw up his hands, he says, "That's it, God, I'm done. I'm not going to say anything more to anybody about you." But then listen to what he says. "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I couldn't." Once you get God's word inside of you, you can't hold it in. You have to let it out. You have to let people know. But then again, there are those who have somewhat of an understanding of the scriptures, and they think they know everything. So they feel, well, I know it all now. I've heard that before. I don't have to go to church. I know it all. Let me tell you, for over 39 years, I've been reading the Bible through once a year. You guys know my testimony. Every time I read it, I get something new in there. That's how I know it's inspired by God's word. I've read novels before. I've read books before. I'd read them a second, third time. I got the exact same thing that I got out of it before. But man, when I open up God's word, the Bible, man, that's proof to me that it's God's eternal word. Because every time I get it, you guys know what I'm talking about, man. I'm preaching to the choir. Every time I read it, I get some new nugget out of it, some golden treasure, man. It's a humble spirit that will receive the truth of the scriptures. And as you walk with the Lord, you know what's going to happen? It's going to lead to a heart that burns for more and more and more of the word. Your heart's going to burn for more, man. I mean, you ever see a pit bull that's hungry? You could try throwing breadcrumbs to him. It's not going to do any good. But man, you throw him meat and he's going to sit there and he's going to wait for more meat. That's what expounding on God's word is. It's real meat. If I didn't study the word to teach it to you, it'd be like throwing breadcrumbs out and you'll starve to death with, you'll become malnutritious. Malnutrition. Today, we have the evidence of the empty tomb. We have the evidence of the angels. We have the evidence of the witnesses right here in Scripture. It's how we came to our own experience with the Lord. Someone shared the word with me, and I said, okay. And I prayed, and I gave my life to Christ. I didn't see Jesus. I didn't see an angel. I didn't see none of that. Consider what these guys were saying. I mean, here they're venting to Jesus. Yeah, they're ticked off. They're discouraged. They just feel everything's over, man. Why did we even do this with Jesus? They're venting to him. And if it was me, I would have gotten tired of dealing with it and just vanished, right? I mean, here's Jesus in his glorified body. And he made it so they can't recognize him. Can you imagine the powers we're going to have in our glorified body when we get to heaven? Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. It just gives me something to just really, really look forward to. But we see here Jesus didn't vanish. We see Jesus didn't abandon them. He didn't leave them. He was with them even though they could not see him. Do I need to say that again? He was with them even though they couldn't see him. We don't see Jesus, but the Bible tells us he will never leave us or forsake us. He's here. He's here. The best evidence of someone understanding the scriptures is that they have met Jesus. Secondly, they're totally excited to share him with others. That's the best evidence of someone understanding God's word. What did these guys do when they realized it was Jesus and that he's alive? Well, they left Jerusalem. They're heading home to Emmaus. When they saw that he was alive, they did a U-turn and they went back to Jerusalem. They went back to Jerusalem to tell the others they met Jesus. That's where our story picks up this morning. It starts with that. You see, if people are attending a church service and they're feeling like the service isn't doing anything for them, then I'd have to say this. They must not have a tight walk with the Lord. They must not be listening to his word. I am excited every time about going to church. Because I want to learn God's word. I want to learn God's word. It has helped me throughout my life as a believer all these years. God's word sustained me. If it wasn't for his word, I wouldn't be here. I would have did something stupid, man, a long time ago. I'd probably be dead by now. I know I wouldn't be here. Look at verse 36. And as they, the apostles, said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Notice his first words, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. They're thinking, oh, it's a ghost. Like Casper the Friendly Ghost or something. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands. Behold my feet. That it is I, myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? I want you to notice this. Jesus is in his glorified body. And he says, have you any food here? That means we're going to be eating when we have our glorified body, man. It's going to be neat. I don't know what it's going to be. Some believe because Revelation 21 and 22 speaks of the new heaven and new earth, that it might be fruit. It might be fruit, and the leaves would be for the healing of the nations. Well, I don't know. We'll see when we get there. But notice here that he's eating. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you when I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding. I love it, man. That they might comprehend, understand the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I love it, man. Here, Cleopas and his buddy, they're there and they're telling the apostles what had happened, how they met Jesus. And all of a sudden, boom, he just shows up. You see, we're going to be able to do that in our glorified body. We're going to be able to just show up and disappear. You guys have been with me as I taught through the book of Revelation. There's going to be people who are going to make it through that 7-year time period called the tribulation period that is just before this world. The church is going to be removed before it begins. But we're close, man. 2 weeks I'm doing that prophecy update on how the coronavirus is setting the stage for the tribulation period because it's global. Get ready to have your eyes opened up, man. I got some radical stuff. What's happening through this virus around the planet now is exactly what's going to happen throughout that whole 7 years. But do you know people are going to make it through that 7 years and they're going to go in the millennium in their regular bodies? Do you know that? And we're going to be reigning as kings and priests through the millennium, 1,000 years with Jesus. Can you imagine appearing and disappearing in front of these people that have their regular bodies? I'm telling you, man, it's going to be a real trip. It's going to be awesome. John chapter 20 adds that the doors were shut. So Jesus didn't open up a door and go, hey, he just showed up. No wonder why they were freaked out and afraid and terrified. He just popped in. He never did that before. They were totally caught off guard. I mean, you'd think they'd immediately start what? Worshiping and praising him. I'd fall on my knees and start praising the Lord. But they were too terrified and afraid to probably even think about it. I mean, no doubt they're thinking they're seeing a spirit. They just weren't ready for this. Even though some of them had already seen Jesus after he had risen from the dead. Simon Peter saw him. Some of these guys saw him already. In fact, when you read Mark 16, verse 14, it says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Notice what he did. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of their heart. He rebuked it because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. It goes back to the testimony. So how did Jesus calm them down? He begins with, bless you. Peace to you. He blesses them. Now this is what God does. He gives his peace to his people. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you, us, believers, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. He wants to work in us what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Think about that. Think about that. We can enjoy the peace of God because of our Lord's sacrifice on the cross. We can enjoy peace with him. He brought this about by his sacrifice. Jesus then showed him his wounds and his hands. Then he showed him his feet, the wounds in his feet. Psalm 22 declared that. Psalm 22. Jesus wanted to assure them, hey, I'm not a ghost. I'm for reals. I'm the real deal. I'm alive. I'm the Messiah. I am God. I am the second person of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here I am. It's amazing. It's amazing when you consider the Lord's wounds that he received from Calvary were on his glorified body. Did you guys catch that? He's in his glorified body. The one that we're going to get soon when that trumpet blows. Man, I hope it's today. He had wounds. But guess what? They're still there today, 2,000 years later. And you know what? You and I, the church, are going to see him. All the believers are going to see him. Revelation 5:6. John the Apostle said, and I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though he had been slain. That's our Lord. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. What's the number seven in Scripture? Completion. Everything's complete. When you continue to verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 5, it clarifies who this lamb is that was slain. It says, and they sang a new song. You know who that is? We're reading what was written 2,000 years ago, what's going to happen on that day in the future with you and me, the church, the believers. The believers in the Old Testament and the church in the New. And they, the church, sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Someone has said this. I thought it was pretty cool. They said the only work of man now in heaven is the marks of Calvary on the body of the exalted Savior. The only work of man in heaven are these marks when we put them on the cross. Did you catch what Jesus did in his glorified body? He ate honeycomb. He ate fish. He did it to prove that he was alive and real. And then he told them, hey, handle me, touch me. Feel for yourselves. I mean, it's hard to comprehend how a human body can be solid flesh and bones, go through closed doors, appear and disappear, be glorified, and still carry the marks of the cross. How can that be? But 1 John 3 verses 1 to 2 tells us, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Yes, we are his children. Oh, but Rick, I blow it every time I turn around. You're his children. You're his children. We are sinners. We do make mistakes at times. That's where we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and our high priest in heaven sitting at the right hand of the throne of God makes intercession for us and deals with it and takes care with it. We are his children. Therefore, the world does not know us. Amen? The world don't know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I can't wait for that day. I mean, to me, this whole thing's remarkable. Jesus had told his guys they would rejoice when they saw him again. Here he is, just as he promised. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, he's coming back for us just as he promised. It's going to happen whether we want to believe it or not. It's going to happen. It's why we put such an emphasis on God's word. That's why I'm always exhorting and encouraging you guys, because I love you guys. Get in God's word. Lock down in the word of God, man. It's our final source of peace and assurance. It's our final source. I mean, we can go to man, and man can do things, but it's only temporary. But when we go to God, it's eternal. It's forever. I mean, obviously, today we can't touch and handle Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, it's not necessary. Why? Because we rest our faith on the scriptures. We rest on what God said in his word. 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning. Here's the Apostle John. Look what he's saying. He hung out. He was one of the 12. He hung out with Jesus. Listen to what he's saying. It's a testimony that we can hang on to. That which was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. They're talking about Jesus. Concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. John says, look, man, I was there. I did the whole gig. I was there with Jesus. I saw it. I was firsthand witness. I'm writing this down in my epistle so that whoever reads this will know that these things are true, man, that they're true. Look at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Paracletus. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that would live inside of us until he took us home. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You know, since we've been allowed to have a drive-in service, I'm amazed that it's not packed out in here with cars. Here, John's talking about they were continually, or the scripture rather, is talking about they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Here we have an opportunity to gather. Yeah, we can't mingle with each other. We can't talk to each other. You're in your car, you're in your car, and I'm up here. And I'm ready, just in case. But you would think, where are the believers? Where are the Christians? You know, I'm praying this isn't symbolic of the rapture of the church, where so many believe, so many say that they'll make a stand for the Lord regardless of what happens. But they really don't, and they really won't. Man, I pray, oh God, please, please don't let them be left behind. Please, God. Jesus said there are very few who would make it. Very few. I'll tell you this, but by the grace of God, there goes I, but I am going to be, God willing, one of those few that are going to go. Amen? I'm going to be one of those few. Notice that what we have heard and studied also brings with it responsibility. What are you talking about, Rick? Well, these believers were to be witnesses of everything Jesus had said and done. Now, we didn't hang with Jesus, but man, we got his word. We got his word. We are witnesses of what we read, what we study, and what we're being taught. We're witnesses. What is a witness? A witness is somebody who tells what they have seen and heard. Church, that means as Christians, we're not judges sent by God to condemn the world. Remember, Jesus said, hey, look, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. We're witnesses pointing to Jesus Christ. We're telling those who are lost, hey, you can be saved if you want to. You can go to heaven if you want to. But if you reject that, you're going to hell. That's what the scripture says. I'm just giving you the truth. That's what we witness. I hear believers say all the time, Rick, how could I ever lead someone to Christ? How could I ever do that? Well, I remind them, hey, it was God who promised to provide the power, and he did. It's called, hello, the Holy Spirit. He's given us the power. On the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit came upon the church and empowered the believers in the church to preach God's word. And then after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit continues to fill believers with his power, and it's been that way for the last 2,000 years, man. It will continue until that day the rapture happens, the trumpet blows, and the Lord takes us out of here. I mean, I've listened to Christians for years. I can tell you this much. Christians can talk smack. They can talk smack. They can talk out of the side of their mouths, out of the side of their neck, as the guys say in the joint. But when you get a spirit-filled, empowered, spirit-empowered Christian, they're going to bring the reality of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Vance Havner said, people do not come to Christ at the end of an argument. Man, you can fight with them till you're blue in the face. They're not going to come to Christ. Simon Peter came to Jesus because Andrew went after him with a testimony. Hey, I believe we found the Messiah. Peter goes, now, how do you know? Come on, bro. What's up? What'd Andrew say? He says, hey, come and see. Don't believe me. Come and see. That's our job. We bring people to church. We bring people into a place where they can hear God's word being taught. When we witness, we do it in the authority of Christ's name. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit that has been so graciously given to us. We're literally heralding his gospel of his grace. That's what we're doing. Can you imagine what it meant to Jesus to return to heaven, to sit on the throne of glory? I mean, it's proof he has conquered every enemy. And now that he reigns, because he is God, and he's ministering as our high priest and advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our priest, rather, first. He gives us the grace we need to face testing, trials, frustrations, temptations, people getting in your face. I mean, we're living in that time. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens," plural. The first heaven is our atmosphere. The second heaven is the planets and the galaxies. The third heaven is where God's throne is, according to the scriptures. "Who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly." I don't have to sneak up to God's throne. I don't have to crawl on my hands and knees. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's what we have, Christians. That's our heritage now as believers. How about when we fail? "Rick, you know what, man? It seems like every time I turn around, I'm blowing it, man. I'm burning it. What about when I blow it? What about when I fail?" Well, as our advocate, he forgives and restores us when we confess our sins. 1 John 1, verses 6 to 10. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." Come on, believers. We have fellowship with one another. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful." Notice who the faithful one here is. "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." We're sinners. But as believers, we're sinners saved by grace. Jesus is the glorified head of the church. He's equipping his people to live for him and serve him while we're here in this world. It's hard. It's tough. Sometimes I want to just, when I'm walking by a store or getting gas, sometimes I don't want to say nothing. You ever feel that way? I ain't going to say nothing. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Forget it. But you know what, man? When that word starts burning in our hearts, that's when you're going to open your mouth and say, "Hey, man, I got some good news for you. I got some awesome eternal news for you." Jesus is ministering to us by his Spirit, and what he's doing is he's making you and me more and more and more like him. I'm talking growth. I'm talking maturity. You just don't get saved and have fire insurance and that's it, so you don't go to hell. Got to be like him. You grow to be like him. There's no other way around it. That's his word. But guess what? That's not all. He's preparing a home for us. Can you believe it? I mean, sure, I'd like to have a mansion, but I'd be happy to be in heaven just sweeping your doorstop, man, out there where your mat is. I'd be happy just to be there. I don't care. I don't need anything. I want to go to heaven. I just want to be in heaven. One day soon. Could even be today. Jesus could come back for his church, and then 7 years of hell will unleash on this planet. Guys, we're already getting a wake-up call and a taste through this coronavirus. Jesus blessed his people. And what did they do? They worshiped him. You see, when you study scriptures, when you look at our lives, how they should be as a Christian, blessing and worship always go together. They always go together, blessing and worship. As we worship him, he shares his blessings with us. I mean, we want to see Jesus. But until that time comes, guys, we've got to get this word out. We got to get this word out that Jesus has accomplished redemption for mankind. We got to let people know, look, not only that, but he is coming at any moment. He could come at any time. No man knows the day or the hour, but man, we know we're in that time frame. We know we're in that time frame. So we need to be ready. This coronavirus is just a prelude. It's a prelude. It's just a small little sample, a small little taste of the hell that is going to be unleashed during that 7-year tribulation. And praise God, we're not going to be here. Amen? Praise God, we're not going to be here. Do the work of an evangelist. Don't hold it in. Jeremiah got pretty fried. He got ticked at God. He said, I ain't saying nothing anymore, man. I'm done. But then he said, man, the word was burning in my heart. I couldn't hold it in. I had to tell somebody. That's how we need to be. That's the best evidence of a Christian truly understanding God's word. The best evidence. Let's pray.